Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please subscribe to my newsletter when you get there. It comes on Sunday, gets you ready for the week ahead. It comes by email, by the way. Check out the blog as well. We have a pretty cool blog, I think. It's not like anybody else's blog you've seen out there. And I think you would expect that from us, wouldn't you? Check it out there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of other stuff, too, including lots of things that Bill Hubbard has deposited with us over the years. Archives galore and articles and so much that Bill makes available to us. Bill is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy and The Medical Privacy Rule, and he is our human resources expert. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Always glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. And that's William S. Hubbard, by the way, folks, if you're looking for his formal name, if you're Googling him, William S. Hubbard, two B's, two T's. Bill, you're a Chicagoan. How are things going up there in Chicago?
Two words, Sox win.
Well, I think you're like me. You're a National League fan. I think you were always, if you were anything, you were going to be a Cubby fan. But if any Chicago team had to win, you know, you got to be happy. Both the Cubs and the Sox have been kind of behind the eight ball for a long, long time with regard to the series, haven't they?
Well, I think they're saying 88 years, so it's been a while, and it's about due that somebody has an opportunity here.
Well, the Cubs almost, you know, the Cubs had a chance a couple of years ago, and they didn't make it through. So I think Chicago feels a little bit vindicated right now, don't you? Just Chicago. I bet there's a lot of Cubs fans who are happy the Sox won.
Well, there's a lot. Everybody's on cloud nine up here, so
yeah,
well, having a good time.
You guys enjoy it. You deserve it. After 88 years, Chicago certainly deserves it. Okay, let's talk about the Americans for Disabilities Act, Bill. That's the topic of your of interest today. I remember when it first passed 15 or so years ago. It was also called the Lawyer Retirement Act.
Lawyer Full Employment Act or Retirement Act.
Full Employment Act, Retirement, whichever one you want to choose, because it was such a vague law, and it was basically going to create a lot of extra work for employers that wasn't well defined. It wasn't that employers were being mean and they didn't want to help the disabled. It's just that it wasn't all well defined, and that's where the lawyers come in.
That's a real concern, and at the time that the law was passed, the communication said there's 43 million Americans that have disabilities, and so a major concern was, well, how do we respond to these kinds of issues? And the law tried to give some guidance, but then as these laws occur, it just takes time and a lot of issues to go through to complete, get an idea of what we need to do.
But, you know, a law shouldn't be passed where just the simple compliance of it requires me to hire a lawyer.
Well, I would have to agree with you on that.
But that's what this has resulted, how this has resulted, hasn't it?
In many cases it has, particularly where there's been a complaint or an allegation presented, then obviously a firm has to respond, and oftentimes that does involve hiring a lawyer.
Isn't the ADA now, doesn't that encompass now things like alcoholism?
It can, yes.
So when they said 43 million at the outset, they hadn't even defined that group of people. They had included that group of people because that came later. That came several years later.
They grew into some of the definitions. Under the law, the term of disability, it defines a disability as a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits a major life activity. Now, that's a very broad statement, and it encompasses a whole host of things. But the way I look at it and try to simplify it or clarify it is any chronic medical condition or persistent medical condition very likely is a condition that could be covered by the ADA. So
right.
when an employer is dealing with an individual who has identified this chronic medical condition, either as the reason for the issue or it's in the background there somewhere in terms of their behavior, the employer then needs to consider, gee, this is a medical condition, I need to try to evaluate and try to accommodate this condition in some way. And if I can accommodate it and the person's a good worker, I should try to do that. If it is so significant and so serious that they can't perform the job, then I can deal with those job performance issues.
Can we walk through two scenarios, Bill? Can you help us with a scenario where it's an employee that has a disability, and we first determine that it is not prohibitive for them to continue to work? I'm just going to have to make some allowances, and then we might get to the point with that person or another person that we cannot continue like this.
Sure.
To help us, what would that look like?
Okay, one example. This is a case example that I'm familiar with, a client that is involved in the distribution of office equipment. And he had a sales representative who claimed that he had a bad back. And because of this bad back, he wanted to have first his own chair brought from home. And when the employer refused to permit that, because this is an office facility where customers come in and they look at our facility as part of what our product line is.
They want to see they want to see the people in the building using the stuff that they're selling.
Exactly. And they didn't want to see some junky chair from
right.
the individual.
Yeah, they don't want to see my recliner in their office, I can tell you that right now.
Exactly. So then the alternative that candidate or the employee said, well, then I got this pillow that I use. He wanted to bring this pillow to work.
And then he wanted to bring his blankie, right?
Yeah, his blankie, and I think he actually did. And they said, no, you can't have that in here. We've got customers coming in today, so this issue festered for a little bit, and then ultimately the individual says, well, you're discriminating against me because I have a handicap, and then I offered some input. They asked me to provide input to it, and we basically looked at all of the issues surrounding this. The action that the employer did take is say, take any chair off of our catalog. Try any one of them. Try any one of those chairs. They're ergonomically designed. We have different features, different chairs, different
right.
price levels, different comfort levels. Pick any one of them. And the individual still refused to try to cooperate in that regard. The other factor that we identified was that this individual was an outside sales representative who's on the road 90% of the time.
Right.
So the essential aspect of this job is visiting the customer and sitting in your own car.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Bill. We're going to get back into this with Bill Hubbard and talk some more about the Americans for Disability Act and how it affects you as a small business employer right after these messages. Bill Hubbard is our guest. It's 20 after.
To my love, took it down. Climbed a mountain and I turned around.
We're back. It's 23 after. That's Stevie Nicks. The lilting voice of Stevie Nicks in the background there. I'm glad you're here. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad Bill Hubbard is here, too, because, ladies and gentlemen, Bill is the voice of human resources. And, you know, I really encourage anybody who has employees, your small company, you don't know who to turn to for this or that human resource issue, Bill would be a great resource for you. And I encourage you to contact him. He's going to give you a phone number and an email in just a minute. But Bill, I know that you work with folks all over the country in a virtual way as the voice of human resources across America. And I appreciate you making that available. I know you do a good job, and you don't gouge people. You make sure they get a good value for what they spend. And you might even give them a little quick tip at the beginning just to see if you know, let them know that you can help them out a little bit, won't you?
Well, that's definitely part of it. Mention the Small Business Advocate with your inquiry, and we'll the first initial consultation doesn't produce an invoice, so we'll be happy to provide some basic information and kind of sort out some issues, and then from there, then we define an activity or in a service level.
Well, just ask him your question, and he'll give you a couple of thoughts. But folks, you know, his time is his inventory. So I encourage you to do that, because I mean, most small business owners around the country, don't have their own department, their own HR expert, and they don't really know who to call. Maybe they call their CPA or their attorney or something like that. But they need some rubber meets the road kind of advice, and that's what you provide. And I know they can contact you through your website at hubbert.com, 2 B's, 2 T's. But how about the phone number?
630-513-9494.
Give it again.
630-513-9494.
You know, folks, so much of the marketplace is becoming virtual these days. And so if you got a hiring issue, you got an ADA issue, if you got a medical privacy issue, anything like that, a policy manual. You've done a lot of employee policy work, Bill. So folks, check that out when you get a chance. Bill's a good one. And as you know very well, Bill, we're going to have our 8th anniversary in a few months.
Boy, time flies.
You and me. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Hey, let's get back into this ADA. You were telling us about this employee. Folks, this employee is a salesperson. This is a true story, right, Bill?
Yes, it is.
The salesperson, on the road 90% of the time in his own automobile, claims he's got a bad back and wants his own special chair, his own special pillow, even his own little blankie to take to work, right, Bill?
I don't know if the blankie was part of the true story, but it kind of fits with the issue. But the key element was that the employer tried to accommodate the circumstance, made a reasonable effort, and said, this is as far as we're going to go. Your job is to be outside making sales. And by the way, you're not making sales. Your sales level is 50% less than what the others are. So therefore, we're going to have to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did let him go. And then he presented his allegation of handicap discrimination.
Right.
And basically the issues that we've been discussing were what was presented in defense of the decision, and the employer was able to show that, in fact, they did make a reasonable accommodation, that,
right,
that in fact, the issue that was presented by the individual was not significantly related to the essential function of the job, which is being out on the streets contacting customers,
mm-hmm,
not sitting in a plush chair and on a pillow on the desk in the office. So therefore, that coupled with the poor performance level supported the employer's decision to say no discrimination had occurred.
Wow. So so an employer actually prevailed sometimes,
yes,
in court.
Yes.
Wow, that's good. I'm glad that's good to know. Not obviously, folks, like we said, this is not about being mean to anybody. It's just about being reasonable, right, Bill?
Exactly. Being reasonable, the issue is, part of the regulation says make a reasonable accommodation, and this can be factors that can relate to workplace accessibility, maybe changing or modifying a job or restructuring some of the duties, modifying some of the work schedules, perhaps. So, for example, if somebody has a medical condition that requires periodic doctor visits, modify the schedule to allow those visits to occur. Or sometimes providing certain types of equipment or devices, like with the case example that we discussed, the employer says pick any chair in our catalog and use that chair. So if you can provide some element to accommodate the individual and they can still perform their job, that's basically what the law is about, is to try to accommodate the circumstance.
Well, that's a great story, because that really kind of gets both sides of what we were talking about. It could have gone either way. I mean, it could have gone where the employee, kind of got their act together and said, yeah, my boss is trying real hard here, and good for them. They did try real hard, apparently. And then they just got to a point where it was untenable. And you know, a lot of employers, though, Bill, wouldn't have the courage to have let that guy go under those circumstances. They would have been intimidated by the ADA, by the Americans for Disabilities Act.
Well, there's a lot of that. And this is where an outside perspective or advice can kind of give you a direction in terms of how to work through this so that you
right.
can show you are making a reasonable effort, trying to work with the individual, trying to get them to perform properly, and then even if they don't perform properly, then you can demonstrate and document that, and then that is the grounds to deal with the separation. So the key issue really when dealing with handicap and disability issues is to come back to, can they perform the job, can they do the job at the same comparable level of safety, quality, and productivity as other workers.
Right.
And if they can, accommodate them and work with them. If they cannot, now you've got a basis based upon the performance issues to separate the employment.
Yep. Bell Hubbard, give us that phone number again, please.
630-513-9494.
And that's Hubbard with two B's and two T's .com, right?
Happy to respond to an email as well.
He's the best, folks. Thanks, Bill. See you next time. Quick break, 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.